I love that show.
Did you see all the pictures that were in the thread?
No, I didn't see
that. There was like
the
motorcycle helicopter from back in the day.
Oh, man,
dude, I did too.
The mask, like the Jim Carrey?
No, mask.
Oh, M-A-S-K. M-A-S-K.
Yeah. The 57 Chevy tank.
The Transformer-ish.
The Transformer Jeep meets G.I. Joe with a little bit of magic thrown in there. Magical helmets. Yeah.
Now I remember.
Satosa.
Now all they have to get is the humanoids, and I'm good.
Humanoids! I love humanoids.
I love
the
that
evil
show.
That lies within.
See you next week.
My favorite character from that show was Decomposed. Because all you would do is come by, touch somebody, and go, Decomposed!
But which one was the one with the ribs that showed? Was that him?
Yeah, that was Decomposed.
Okay. I've got to go back to work. I got to. About to head out
because they had like the Cthulhu looking.
You're not
going to
join us for episode 66 of Geeks of the Square Table.
66.
No, not today. But I'm going to try during Christmas because I'll be
nice. We're doing it next week.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I'll be off then.
Today with me, I have
the irredeemable Gomer,
the intrepid David,
and Big Bob.
Big Bob.
And we're running a little light today.
I love it. We are running light.
We're missing the Garys.
The Garys
Heather.
And Heather. And,
you know, and they've.
Christian had off today and he didn't show up. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
And Miguel 23 is never here anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
who?
23's at work.
So, what's up, guys?
You were just talking about shows coming back. I saw a blurb that Digimon's getting relaunched.
I'm cool with that. What's Digimon?
It's a Pokemon.
I know what it is. It's a ripoff.
But if you're going to rip something off, might as well rip off Pokemon.
Yeah, rip off the most successful franchise in history. Yeah. Okay.
Well, everything deserves one big ripoff. You know, and Digimon is not terrible, considering it's a ripoff of Pokemon.
Well, and the funny thing about Pokemon, you know, even though it's not really the Pokemon franchise is not a ripoff, the thing that made it so famous was ripping off Magic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the card collecting game.
The video game came first.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. The video game was first. The cartoon was to promote the video game.
Magic the Gathering predates Pokemon by at least a couple of years.
Yeah, which is weird because Nintendo made...
Years.
No.
4 years.
Wizards of the Coast were the original publishers of the Pokemon card game in America.
Yeah, that's right.
Not true.
In America.
They were the distributors.
Wizards of the Coast was the distributor for Pokemon in America.
All right.
Because they had already had their foundation in collecting trading cards, though.
Japan was not.
But that was not... That was Hasbro.
Wizards of the Coast.
Yes. Not Wizards of the Coast.
Actually said Wizards of the Coast on them.
But I think he's right.
Hasbro bought them out before they distributed. Because they were sued. They sued Nintendo before Pokemon came to America.
Because of the similarities.
And until...
wasn't Nintendo, like, way back in the day a card maker?
Yeah.
That was its original purpose. And they still make playing cards.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that was not their original
purpose. Their original purpose was
Chang'e
games.
Their original purpose was toys.
But what is that?
But, one of the early companies, before they even had the name Nintendo, there were two companies. One of them was a playing card company.
Yeah.
And after they merged, they did become the first Japanese company to export playing cards and the first company in Japan to do wax-coated playing cards.
Yes.
And one of the first Asian companies to ever license characters, which would be the Disney characters. And that was all in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And that was shortly after they started operating under the name Nintendo.
And then they started making the Plinko sort of games.
They started with a lot of mechanical arcade games and wind-up toys and stuff like that.
I love Nintendo.
Also, like, when the ripoff becomes more popular than the originals.
Yeah.
Like Transformers. Transformers is a ripoff of
GoBots.
GoBots, yeah.
But
GoBots was lame.
GoBots was lame.
There was a lot better engineering, a lot better design.
And you see, I always thought it was the other way around.
And then, like, Oreo. Oreo is a ripoff of another cookie.
Yeah.
But Oreo is more popular.
Man, I love Oreos, too. Almost as much as
don't you eat your Oreos with a fork?
I do eat my Oreos with a fork. I stab the cream and so I can dunk them.
I have discovered and not that get my fingers almond milk milky. And Oreo cookies do not mix.
Yeah, almond milk doesn't mix with anything, dude.
Almond milk and cookies is not great.
Almond milk? Have you milked an almond?
I know. How do you milk an almond?
Have you seen almond boobies?
They should call them almond juice.
It's almond juice.
Yuck. Gross. That's nasty. Put that on your milk. They call it milk because it's like, man, they're not going to put it
milk
on their cereal.
Milk will sell better.
You're not going to put it on their cereal.
Almond juice.
If we call it almond water. Yeah. But yes, I do eat my Oreos with a fork. I stab the cream in between the cookies, and then I dunk it in the milk.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Until the bubbles quit coming so it dies.
Yeah. They actually make a little thing. It's like
an Oreo hook.
Yeah, it's like an Oreo hook, and you can, to hook your Oreos, but forks work just as good.
I just put them in my cup and just drink them.
Dude, that's nasty. You're like a cookie anarchist.
See, I was never a big Oreo fan until they came out with the golden Oreos.
Those are good.
Because I always liked the knockoff ones because you could get them in the vanilla cookie. I didn't like the chocolate
Hydrox.
No, I don't like the white. Yeah, that's who they white filling. Yeah. I prefer my Oreos with the chocolate filling.
I don't mind the chocolate filling, like the reverse ones.
No,
but
not reverse.
I just don't like the chocolate cookies.
The modern day Oreo.
The birthday cake Oreo.
Yeah,
awesome.
There's birthday cake. There's pumpkin spice. There's mint. In like Japan, they have like bamboo and tea, green tea flavor.
That's how they are like with Kit Kats.
Oh, it's weird, dude. Oh, the amount of Oreos is just way too high.
Have you ever had like a foreign Kit Kat?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't
my
want
gosh,
a foreign Kit Kat.
So good.
I don't.
There's
I don't
like
want
a cookies and cream.
That might actually be good.
And an orange.
Oh, that might be good too. This is the time of year for the chocolate orange.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of a chocolate orange.
But they're like the Japanese ones are just really out there. But like there's some
beat
ones
that Toblerone orange.
Oh man, I love it. Slam it against the table. Ah.
Is that Toblerone? I thought that was like La Ferrero Rocher or something.
Ferrero Rocher.
Toblerone of the original. There's knockoff chocolate oranges.
Ferrero Rocher is
a little
hazel. Toblerone, I think, is a little triangle bar.
Yeah, those are just weird. Those remind me of Chunky.
Well, that's the Toblerone bar.
I don't like the Toblerone bar.
The Toblerone bar,
it reminds me of a Chunky. You ever had a Chunky candy bar? It's got like raisins in it. Who the hell? Yuck.
What's this fruit?
If I want to eat healthy, I'm not going to grab a candy bar.
If I want chocolate and raisins together, I'll get Raisinets.
No, and I don't even like that either.
I like Raisinets.
I like if I'm getting a chocolate covered something, it's
Goobers.
Chunky. Goobers.
Fruit cake of chocolate.
It's just the fruit cake of chocolate bars.
Speaking of fruit cake.
What?
Has anyone gotten one this year?
No.
I've always heard of this as like a traditional holiday thing. You give fruit cake. I've never given or received a fruit cake. Ever in my life.
That's because the fruitcake industry made that up.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like Hallmark's like, hey, we need a new holiday. All right, Mother's Day. Fuck it. Everybody likes moms.
Everybody has one. CVS, and they would always sell. We'd get a big end cap display of fruitcakes.
And would it sell?
It would sell.
Have you ever eaten fruitcake?
No.
Since
I was a child.
I don't like fruitcake.
I've had homemade fruitcake. Homemade fruitcake's pretty darn good.
But I mean...
But then again, it's also made with rum.
and you put alcohol in something, it automatically ramps it up. But CVS is not going to sell an ID.
Well,
do you have your ID for that cake, sir?
Cakes, usually the ones I remember when I was little were like little like pound cake looking things.
Yeah,
yeah.
These were probably, the ones they'd get were like a 12 by 12 cube box. They were a full big ass cake, and people would buy them, give them away. They'd sell like for $15, and every year we'd sell out.
What is the appeal of green cherries?
Green cherries?
I've seen fruitcakes with like green and red cherries.
I thought those were olives.
No, they're
cherries. No, why would you put olives?
I don't know! It's
fruit!
It's disgusting!
Because you're dousing it with martinis.
Yeah. This fruitcake is just nasty. And there's nuts in there too.
Pecans?
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Dates?
Dates are fruit though.
Yeah, dates
it's
are like.
Nut, is it? I don't know.
Dates are like a.
A droop.
It's a droop. It's a nutty fruit.
Aren't dates like the dried out version of something else?
No, I think dates.
You're thinking prunes.
Yeah, you're thinking
aren't dates?
No, I think dates are just dates. There's like a date tree.
And they're date. Like they're date nuts. They're a droop. They're in the same.
Really? There's really a
What?
They're in the same category as, I think, banana.
What? That's a plantain. I thought a banana is in the plantain family.
All right, so I type into Google, what is the date?
Oh, no.
So
did
I
you
get
press, I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah, don't do that.
What is a date fruit?
Yeah.
What is a date rape drug? What is a date party? I feel bad for society.
What is a date party?
I don't know.
Is that like a new swinging term or something? The kids are using nowadays.
Oh, you kids and your
you kids and your date parties. Bring plenty of condoms.
I just found out what a rainbow party was. What have I been missing out on?
Oh, man. You know, I wish there was more to talk about geek-wise. Oh,
there's plenty to talk about.
Well,
geek-wise.
Spit it, dude.
Oh, big story, the Sony leaks.
Sony leaks.
The Sony hack.
Can we talk about the Sony hack without talking about the things that were hacked? Because I think that we should not talk about the things that were hacked.
Well, the one thing, the only thing that really interests me is the plan, the apparent plan that Sony and other movie studios were going to come together to try to take down Google.
Really?
Yeah.
The Google Play?
No, Google.
What do you mean?
They were going to take down Google to try to end internet piracy. That was the one big thing that stuck out to me.
You know, they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't threaten a company like Google.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a public threat.
Well, and here's the thing about the leak.
They were going to join forces essentially to...
Google doesn't give it about piracy.
Yeah, they don't care.
It's like, oh, you want to stop us? Well, you know...
And how is Google responsible for piracy? The Google Play Store has had an uptake of like 40% just in the past 3 months of people buying devices.
All Google has to do is say, all right, let's remove Sony from all searches unless they mention Sony.
Exactly.
And not
just them,
this is like Warner Brothers, Sony, just all the big name studios.
And Google couldn't do that.
Because
there are other search
had a plan in the
companies that would pick up the
slack. Google, because they thought Google was the focus of... or.
Irresponsible.
Partially responsible for internet piracy.
And they are.
And
to find that stuff, you use Google.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I actually hate talking about these leaks.
To say Google is responsible for internet piracy is the equivalent to saying...
Facebook is responsible for my posts I put up today.
No, it just happens. I was going to say highways are responsible for automobile accidents.
Oh, that's exactly
highways
right.
Highways are responsible for drunk driving.
That's a better way to put it, yeah.
But I thought that was just the one really interesting
Aaron
thing.
Sorkin had an op-ed in the New York Post about how the media is sort of giving the hackers a pass on all this stuff. And really, it's wrong. Now, I'm all for people leaking stuff that is actually worthwhile leaking. The Marvel and Sony news back and forth. I think that's worthwhile news leaking. But there's a lot of personal stuff in these emails, like the racially pushing email that came out. And there's only, 0.2%?
The medical records.
Yeah, medical records, social security numbers.
Social security numbers. That stuff is not good.
And the hackers, GOP or whatever, the Guardians of Peace or what the hell ever they are, have come out and said that only 0.2% of the files that they've downloaded have been released. They're supposed to have the new Chappie movie already. And that movie's not out until middle of next year. And there's a bunch of movies that they claim they have. And a bunch more emails. And they've only released the news about Sony and Marvel meeting. You know, that's all I'm seeing on the internet. And I don't know. I just don't think it's... I think the media kind of gives the hackers a pass because the hackers are providing something newsworthy.
Well, I mean, didn't...
You know what I mean? It's wrong for them to unveil... to put out Social Security numbers.
And medical records.
And medical records of that. The racially slanted emails, I can kind of see some newsworthiness there.
Because
if somebody at Sony is racist...
Somebody will have to sell Sony because...
Well, no, because if somebody at Sony is being racist and making movies, that's important.
The Guardians of Peace wanted them to snowball the interview movie?
The interview movie, yes. James Franco was actually not on Kelly and Michael this morning because of all this news that's coming
out. Him and Seth Rogen have pretty much canceled all media appearances.
Yeah.
There was a blurb this morning about this group GOP said that there will be 9/11 style attacks on movie theaters that feature this movie.
And that, I was like, how? It's just hard for me to believe. Is Korea really behind this, North Korea? And does North Korea really have agents in the United States that could pull off movie theater anything, shootings, bombings, whatever? It's horrible to even think that that would happen. But the numbers are going to be down for this movie. Carmike Cinemas has already said, no, we're not showing the movie. Carmike is like the third largest in the U.S., which is really nothing. As long as AMC and Regal have it, it's not going to matter, really. But there's a lot of movies coming out this holiday season. There's like four or five. And Interview was probably going to be the highest one. I would not be surprised.
Didn't
if
Hobbit open yesterday?
Hobbit yes. opened yesterday. I would not be surprised if Hobbit is...
I thought Hobbit opened tomorrow.
Hobbit opened today. Early. Hobbit opens today. It opened up officially early last
today.
Night.
Officially, yeah. today, officially today. They had like 7 o'clock showings last
yes,
night.
Yes, it did. They had showings, I heard, in some places all night.
They had,
3 in the morning
I had a friend on Facebook post Monday saying they watched it, but it was too short, in their opinion.
Oh, really? Well, it's the third movie. I mean, give it a break. What are they expecting? They crammed or milked 3 movies out of this one story, you know? That.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, you know, that they say the defining chapter, and it's like one of the shorter chapters in the book.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. But
and it's literally one chapter.
Yeah, yeah. The whole Sony leak, though, man, I don't know. I'm not bootlegging any of these movies, but then again, I wasn't going to go see any of these movies in the theater, more than likely.
I might have gone to see Chappie.
Well, Chappie, but it's not out till next year. Yeah. And they're just saying that they may have Chappie, you know, because what they're doing is saying, okay, this is what Sony's been working on. This is what they have due out in the next few months. This is what could have possibly been on that server, so this is probably what the hackers got. But yeah. But what about personal email? I mean, if I work for a company, dude, and was certain that my stuff was secure, I would be upset.
They are suing. There are people suing.
There are people suing Sony for damages, fraud protection.
Yeah, Sony should have immediately given them fraud protection.
That was actually the same blurb that I saw the whole theater attacks. How could
Sony be held accountable for that?
For not securing their own internet?
The lawsuit states that Sony
personnel files.
Yeah,
Sony. The lawsuit states that Sony thought that any damages from the hacks would be insignificant, so they didn't beef up their internet security.
Well, it sounds to me that even if they beefed it up, it wouldn't matter.
Because they're basically what with the hacks is pretty much any sensitive stuff is being Sony's being forced to essentially go back to a time before computers.
Yeah.
Pencil and paper.
I think Mark hit the nail on the head. If we could change the subject just a little bit to the legalities and stuff that would be involved in this, it's no way to make a computer system that is 100% secure. There's no way to do it. So, could Sony have made their system more secure? Of course. Everybody can. That's the thing about technology. It's always, you know, growing.
Yeah.
But
the white hats and the black hats are always trying to outdo each other.
How do you decide if Sony is truly at fault in not keeping their system secure?
Well, if...
You know what I mean?
If there's a document that
exactly.
says...
Exactly. And where are they going to find that document?
In that link.
In the leak. Would that even be admissible? Because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very weird. Yeah. It's very weird. Because this is only the first time something like this will happen. We'll see more and more of this as technology becomes more and
as
more
the hackers become more aggressive.
Well, also,
aggressive. Because they've already got the talent to do it.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about it last week.
The fact that somebody has bowed to this. The fact that people are discussing it, paying it any mind, it's going to just encourage more.
Of
course.
The
fact that Carmike Cinemas has kowtowed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've shown that computer terrorists can win.
Realistically, I'd find it more believable if it was done by another studio.
You think that's what it is? It's not. It's Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios is GOP.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
And wouldn't that be awesome? That's some Punisher shit right there. Punisher's back there screwing with your system. Some Amadeus Cho. You know, Iron Man's back there hacking your shit.
Corporations have been more brutal than, a lot of
countries.
People.
Yeah, you're right.
Corporate espionage.
I mean, you look at like the Rockefellers, when he would set up, he would buy everything around, lose money for years just to drive a franchisee out of business.
Yeah, well, isn't he the one who bought up all, or who...
The Rockefeller Oil Company is why we have monopoly law.
Yeah.
Because
basically
when we had an intersection, he would buy everyone he can. If he could only get one space in the intersection, then whatever oil was costing him, he'd sell it for half the price.
Yeah.
None of the other gas stations could keep up. Yep. So he would do that, and when one of them went out of business, he'd buy them out.
And then they'd jack the prices up.
Well, when all four of them went out,
and
he had it, and he knew there'd be no competition.
Man, that sounds like a good business idea. I'd make that illegal, too.
But it's, and at the same time, he bought the refineries.
Isn't it funny that
the
guys who write the laws are usually the ones that have figured out how to break them?
How they're so easily able to break them, because they wrote them.
And of course, he had 95% of every oil company that we have now was 5% of the market.
Yeah.
He was the other 95%.
That's crazy.
Wasn't it SO, Standard Oil?
I think it was something like that.
May have been. Yeah.
Which is Exxon.
Now it's
Exxon. Well, I mean, Exxon was around then.
Well,
Exxon is a modification of SO, which is what they... It started out as Standard Oil, and then it became ESSO, and then they changed it from ESSO to Exxon. I learned this in American history.
Useless nonsense. That's what we're full of.
Well, I'm not 100%.
Get this man to trivia night.
you may be right there. I'd have to look it
up to
see for sure.
Anyway, awkward transition.
Yeah, that was all beside the point.
We got some Star Wars news that isn't related to The Force Awakens. Star Wars Rebels is their latest animated series. It's premiering January 7th. Is that right? Something like that?
The series is already out. They are on a mid-season hiatus.
Oh, okay.
It's coming back
January 7th, maybe. But Frank Oz is due to recur his role as Yoda.
Yep.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah. Which, that's great and all, but the guy who did the voice, I forget who his name is, I'm going to look it up here in a second, the guy who did Yoda in the Clone Wars would have been an awesomest.
Yeah, he would have been good, but he doesn't come along with the name recognition that Frank Oz comes with. And
the way they described it is pretty much it's going to be the disembodied voice of Yoda reaching out to the young character.
I'm cool with that. That works well within the story. Spirit's always... Jedi spirits, always
come
back. What's
a new idea?
Yeah.
Very naughty boy you are.
That's where I was going with it.
I'm playing this game called Trivia Crack.
You pick your nose!
And one of the entertainment questions on Trivia Crack. What movie did Yoda make a surprise appearance in?
What movie did Yoda make a surprise appearance in?
Does not Star Trek. Or not Star Wars.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it was Star Trek.
Well, the thing is, that was one of the choices.
Oh, shut up, Wesley!
That was one of the choices. Star Trek was one of the choices.
Oh, really?
I was either going to think it has to be like a Frank Oz movie, like Indian in the Cupboard.
Yeah,
or
something like that.
E.T.
He was in E.T. Some kid was dressed up
as
Yoda.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that Yoda, though.
And when they were trick-or-treating, some kid was dressed up as Yoda. And because of that homage, if you watch in episode one... In the Senate scene?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You can find E.T.
Yeah,
well, no,
I've seen
reason,
that.
The reason for that was because there was a bunch of toys.
Yeah, there were toys.
Elliot was showing E.T. a bunch of Star Wars toys, and Hammerhead was one of them. So when episode one came back out...
That's because Lucas and Steven Spielberg were buddies. There's cameos to each other's movies back and forth.
Yeah. Temple of Doom. Yeah. The club is the club Obi-Wan.
Well, there's CP3O and R2-D2 carved on the wall.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's really cool. J.J. Abrams is trying to keep that sort of thing going. He's putting all homages to other things.
Well,
there was
talk that in episode 3 that Steven Spielberg actually was going to come in and direct the fight between Sidious and Yoda.
Yes.
But there was concept art for that. That didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
So what new comics are coming out this week?
Man, my favorite of the week is a book called Squarriors.
That was a big hype. It's a miniseries. Looks pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Squirrels post-human world.
It's kind of like Mouse Guard meets Game of Thrones, I think. It's a little bit tribal, you know, so it might not be as kingly, you know, as royal as that sort of thing. But it definitely looks gruesome. It looks bloody and gruesome. Ashley Witters is the name of the artist on it, and she's brilliant. It's a beautiful animals. Beautiful animals. A home for like a Disney animals meets, you know, kicking ass sort of thing. Rambo. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to reading.
Wayward number 5.
Oh man, Wayward.
Oh my gosh.
Jim Zub and
Stephen Cummings.
Steve Cummings, John Rosh on that book. The first four issues were kind of slow.
Because they were the introduction issues.
Yeah, he did a lot of team building.
And then the fourth issue is where they all come together and go on their first little group excursion.
Yeah.
And
this issue 5.
Issue 5 is pretty much picking up from that, the events in the last issue. And we finally get to meet, well, we've met the big bad so far, but it's the first time Rory has met the big bad.
Yeah, and it hits the fan. Great book. Definitely pick that up. Wicked and Divine number 6, the first book of the second arc of that. You know, everyone's raving about that book. It's really fun, too.
Did anybody catch the Wicked and Divine Easter egg in Sex Criminals?
No, I didn't. Which issue of Sex Criminals?
The last issue of Sex
Criminals. No, I'm not. I haven't read that, I don't think, yet.
Check it out.
I will. But Wicked and Divine is a great book. I'm not really sure where that book's going to end up. You know, it's all over the place right now. It's like a pop music sort of culture clash with weird gods in it. It's a very weird book. Beautifully drawn by Jamie McKelvey, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big pull of getting it right now. It's fun design decisions in that book. I don't know. What else is coming out, dude?
We got Sabrina coming in.
Sabrina the Archie book?
Yeah, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
The Christmas special one?
Well, no, it's a new series launching.
Yeah.
It's an adult taker. Older teen.
Yeah, in line with Archie Comics' 2014 debut of Afterlife with Archie, which was very adult driven. Right. And Archie was big news this week too, man. In January, is it January or March? It's happening next year. They may not have given a month.
New Archie.
Number 1 will relaunch for Archie Comics with Mark Waid and Fiona Staples doing art on at least
right
the first four issues, three or four issues. But Mark Waid writing is enough reason to buy the book. Fiona Staples doing art, even if she was the only name on there, is enough reason to buy the book.
Is it an adult take on Archie? Or?
We're not sure yet.
Classic, all ages Archie.
I'm not really sure yet. I read an interview with Archie CEO, and he said, no, we're all in on these changes. 2014 was our test bed for adult comics. But he really didn't say for certain if the new Archie relaunch was going to be...
Well, they need to keep their all-ages line
going. I agree.
You know, it's classic. You know, they
could do that with trades, though.
But, trades, you know, they killed off Archie in more of Archie gets married kind of a life thing.
I'm thinking today Archie Comics aren't appealing to a younger crowd. They need to deal with those real life contemporary issues that teenagers and even adults go through to make the book even remotely appealing to a wider audience, man. I think they're doing a good job with that, getting Mark Waid and Fiona Staples on the book. But good for Archie Comics, man. Stepping up.
The voice actor in Clone Wars for Yoda is Thomas Kane. For whatever reason, I was thinking it was Kevin Conroy, but it's not.
No, it's not Kevin Conroy.
I knew it was.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what else Archie does. You know, they're definitely moving into new ground and different ground, and good for them. Good for them.
Branching out.
Yeah, branching out.
We have the 100th issue of Captain Marvel.
And that's different. That's weird. Well, they're going through all the numbering.
Yeah, they're going through all. Like, they went through, like, the Thor, like, the 700th issue.
Yeah,
or
that book's been
that Captain Marvel's been relaunched four different times with four different Captain Marvels.
Yeah, but they're saying that this is Carol Danvers' 100th issue.
Oh, really?
Her headlining it.
Oh, very good. Well, that went quick. That went by fast.
Yeah. We have the Batman number 37.
Yeah, the Darwin Cook covers for DC this month. That's their variant of choice for December. Those are still going great.
Actually, that's the only one I'm going to pick up.
Yeah.
For this week. Ms. Marvel, number 10.
Ms. Marvel, number 10.
Iron Fist team up.
Oh, neat. They've been doing a lot of that with the Ms. Marvel getting Kamala Khan. Isn't that her name? Kamala Khan?
Kamala Khan, yeah.
Getting her, you know, interacting with the rest of the Marvel Universe in a major way. And that's really all they've been doing this whole year, really.
Wolverine, Spider-Man.
Inhumans she was hanging out with. She's still hanging out with...
Lockjaw.
Yeah, Lockjaw on the cover.
Now
so.
They got Iron Fist.
That's cool. I'm not sure if Ms. Marvel, the current version we have, is cool enough to be in with the rest of the Marvel Universe and not ruin her as a character as she is now. You know what I mean? She has this certain air about her that she's a different sort of character than the rest of the Marvel Universe. And when you put her into an event, which they're bound to do, yeah, it kind of bogs her down a little bit. But we'll see.
Goner's number 3.
Goner's number 3. The writer on that, a.k.a. David, was able to sit down with him and have a little interview.
Yep.
And that's on OutrageGeekery.com. That's fun. It was actually a really good interview. I liked it, despite what the internet had to say.
Yeah, well, one person on the internet using an alias.
Somebody on the internet not using their real name?
I wanted you to know it was me, I would have told you directly.
Manifest Destiny number 12 comes out today. The book hadn't come out for a couple of months. They were on hiatus after the end of the second arc. This starts a brand new arc. It is a long way to the Pacific Ocean. I am in this book for the long haul.
Oddly Normal number 4.
Yeah, Otis Frampton's got some variant work on there.
Does Manifest Destiny end when they hit the Pacific Ocean?
We're not sure, but I'm just saying that's a long... Hey, if they want to come all the way back, I'm in it till then, too. Manifest Destiny is a great book. It's a historical retelling of the Lewis and Clark exploration after the Louisiana Purchase. But Thomas Jefferson sends these guys out there not to explore, but to clear the area of supernatural monsters that are hanging out in the New World. And it's awesome. It's just as cool as it sounds.
Oddly Normal.
Otis Frampton's great book. Is that an ongoing?
I don't know if
I'm not sure either.
Yet.
It could be.
Well,
it's a fun book.
It's like some of these other series, like Lumberjanes. Lumberjanes was supposed to be like an 8-issue run. Issue 9 came out today.
Awesome.
And we were talking earlier about Death Vigil. Death Vigil may get picked up as an ongoing.
Yeah, that's all rumor right now. We haven't heard anything from the Croatian.
Well, it definitely seems like there's more of a trend to do, here's a 4-issue miniseries. Let's wait another couple of months to another 4-issue miniseries.
Well, that's the thing. The way Image Comics does their thing, they want the whole book, the first arc of the book, immediately. So then those issues will come out.
You know,
and sometimes they don't know if it's going to be popular until issue 3 or 4 comes out. So they're behind a couple of months before they start on the second arc. So it's kind of easier to say, no, we're just going to have 6 books, and then our series will be over, and then test the waters, and then if it's good, say, okay, there were no, you know, delays.
Well,
we just decided it was so popular we'd do another one.
Well, I was reading something off of Reddit for the Image solicitations going into March, and I didn't see Wayward. So, like, I guess the arc's going to end sometime before March.
That would put it at 7? Because December 5th issue, so January 6th, February 7th.
Yeah, I think the solicitations for March are 3 months afterwards.
Yeah.
So
we're not sure. Maybe it'll have an issue. Maybe they'll be caught up on the art and everything. But
we could check this.
Yeah, we could check the previews handy catalog, comic book catalog.
Yep.
Wayward's definitely going to go on. That book's getting way too much buzz. Image is going to be in the black section.
Yeah, here it is.
And it's going to be in alphabetical order. Wayward's probably going to be in the back if it's coming out.
You know, I've noticed, this is totally off subject.
That's cool.
But we've been selling a lot of board games as gifts this year.
That's
definitely picked up.
Nice.
Versus last year. Of course, board games have been a growing trend for a while.
Yeah.
It definitely seems to have made it more mainstream this year. You know, a lot of people have been buying gifts.
I think people are a little bit worn out on video games.
I think the value you get for a video game is so slim compared to a board game.
Yes.
And the lack of a social aspect,
uh-huh.
even comparing it to stuff online games.
The online social aspect is nothing like a real world. You can't compare.
Face to face.
Yeah.
But speaking of gifts, I was going to ask y'all, it being close to Christmas.
Yeah.
We all know a friend or something that has sort of geeky taste or whatever. What do you, for the non-geek, what do you tell them to get? What do you suggest the non-geek to get the geeky friend?
I always tell, you get your non-geek friend, if you want to get them something geeky, get them comic books. Now, even if you are a non-geek, you're still going to be a fan of something. You may be Star Wars, it may be Star Trek, it may be, Firefly.
Well, sure, if they're a fan of one of the major characters,
you could also be a fan of, like, vampires, or you could be a fan of werewolves, or you could be a fan of science fiction, or you could be a fan of a lot of different things. And I think that the comic books, there's something in there for everyone.
Well, there's a lot of, like, Batman fans that have never actually read any comics.
Exactly, exactly.
Of course, you said, the ones that come to my mind, of course, are Hush and Long Halloween.
Definitely.
Killing
Joke, definitely.
Death of the Family?
Oh, definitely.
But what Year about one. Other characters? What about Superman? If they're a fan of Superman, haven't read any comics.
Red Sun.
Red Sun is definitely a good pick. J. Michael Straczynski's Superman Earth 1?
Yeah,
there's
two parts of it.
Yeah, there's three parts now.
The third one's
coming out, I think, next week. Actually,
isn't there like the Superman for All Seasons?
There's Superman for All Seasons. There's All Star Superman is definitely good.
All Star Superman, beautiful,
definitely good. Those are my picks for those.
What about Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, probably Marvel Masterworks. Get the early stuff is always the best stuff. Mm-hmm.
Stick with
the classics, especially with most Marvel characters. You want to stick to the classics. If they haven't read any Spider-Man before, you can't dunk them into Spider-Universe or Spider-Verse, which is going on, the event going on right now, and expect them to understand. Yeah. You can't give them a superior Spider-Man trade and have them understand anything that's going on in there.
An Ultimate Spider-Man trade, though, might be acceptable.
That was actually what I was going to go next. You could get them Ultimate Spider-Man number one from the beginning and get them that. When they switch over to Miles Morales, there may be a little bit of gap there where a reader may need some help. But I think they would still enjoy Miles Morales' all-new Ultimate Spider-Man. Or
it's Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, or Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
Aren't the Spider-Mans, the colors, like Spider-Man red?
Yeah, they're, any of the Marvel books that have color. There's like a Daredevil yellow,
Spider-Man red.
Hulk gray, maybe any of those with colors. Those are fun, but really that's it. The classic stuff for Marvel is definitely the best way to go. Definitely
for starting out.
Oh yeah, for starting out. Once you start out, then hit Google up and find your own damn book.
Well, that would be the idea. You want to give them something to get them started.
For music fans, there's a comic called Phonogram that you could definitely pick up. It's got every issue of that. Is based on a song, and it has the different stuff, and
if
it's
you're
got
music
a soundtrack.
Fan, you also got Umbrella Academy, which is done by
MCR,
exactly,
or if a guy's trying to buy a comic,
Rush does a comic too.
I'm not sure the name of that, but
but I don't know how music related those are.
I'm not sure.
Though.
Yeah, they're not music. Phonogram is actually created by a comic book creator who's just a music fan. The other ones are comic books created by musicians, which is very different. But
right. Still artistic types or whatever, but
If you're looking for a horror comic,
Walking Dead
is always a winner.
Of course, Walking Dead, always
Vampirilla.
Suggest to people they pick up the 1 year $35 hardbacks. They look great on the shelf, They're two story arcs.
Yeah. I would tell them get the $50 1-48 or $49.
No, you don't want to give everybody
actually,
a big investment.
$60.
They went up.
And that's way too big of an investment for someone. The hardcover ones are great because it's a cheap enough investment, but it's a nice enough looking book where if they want to continue to get them, the whole collection looks amazing. The numbers, different colored numbers, look so good.
The thing I don't like about that omnibus is, A, they're smaller than the trays.
Yes.
B, it doesn't hold up to multiple readings.
Yeah.
The hardbacks, they're almost 50% bigger than the comics.
Yeah.
They're bigger than the trades. Like you said, they look great. They have great shelf appeal. And I love that with a good trade paperback.
Me too, man. Me too. I like it to look good, not only inside but outside too. If I'm gonna keep it for a while.
If you got a friend who's a geeky friend, other than comics, maybe action figures.
Action figures are always good. If they're a fan of the movies,
you
can get them an action figure and they'll be happy with that. If I had a friend who had a friend who they didn't have any idea what they were into, and I still wanted them to get a comic, this year I would say get Lazarus number one, the trade, from Greg Rucka and Michael Lark. It's from Image Comics. It's a sci-fi action, but it's got a lot of great characters and some of the best world building I've read in a comic book in forever. I think anybody could read that and enjoy reading it. And immediately feel like, yes, I love a comic book. Because it's that good of a book.
What I would probably do is get a bunch of the number one $1 books.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
You get maybe 10 of them for $10.
You can spend $20 and give people 20 different issues of a comic. Yeah. They're going to find something in there they like. That's a great idea.
The
$10 gift certificate, that way they can come back and
buy a couple more issues.
And see, that's the good thing about Image. Image is all about trying to get readers to read their stuff. The trades, the first arcs of the trades always come out at $10, which is a lot lower than cover price of buying the issues. And then they always, for their best books, they put out the number ones. Image First is what they call it. Yeah. And it's $1 for the first issue of a series.
Wicked and Divine just did that.
Yeah.
What else did that?
Oh, they all do it. All the good ones.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
Yeah,
man.
Of course.
Sex Criminals just came out this week.
That's the other one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
That I think even Marvel and DC have started doing it too.
Yeah, not to as good of as a great an extent as Image. Image is really trying. I think the thing is, Image knows that their books are good for the long haul. You can read a Marvel and a DC book and read 3 or 4 arcs, and nothing has really happened. Yes, it was an entertaining story, but nothing really happened. What I mean?
That's funny. Image's books are good for the long haul, considering that only 2 of the titles that were originally launched are still with Image.
What do you mean?
Like Savage Dragon and Spawn.
Well, those have the highest numbers right now, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have any more Wildcats with Image. Cyber Force.
I think that's another Shadow appealing Hulk. Part. I'm doing a series of articles on Outrage Geekery Image Comics number one from 2014. Yeah. And there are so many.
There's
a lot of diversity.
It is nice to have a story in.
Exactly. It's nice to have closure. Yeah, you read a Marvel event, you're paying $4 for the extra book or 2 or 3 books you got to buy a month. And by the end of it, you're exactly where you were before you started reading the event. It's kind of a letdown. I mean, the journey is great, it's fun, but yeah, I like to have a destination a lot of times.
Yeah, so that is one of the advantages with the smaller books.
Yeah.
They're usually they may be shorter runs, but usually you have a definite beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
All your classic storytelling elements
and
wrapped up there.
Not to take anything away from the creative teams at Marvel and DC, but if you write a Batman book, it doesn't matter how good or bad that book is going to be. It's still going to sell a lot. Spider-Man, it doesn't matter who they have writing Spider-Man, it's still going to sell. If you have a book that's an Image book that is selling well, it's because the creative team is doing well. You know what I mean? It's a lot better investment. It's your odds of it paying off are a lot greater than buying a DC or Marvel book that's selling well. Yeah.
And of course, Marvel and DC, they both sell a certain number, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's
actually amazing that Image Comics is able to be number 3 considering all of the promotion, of the character recognition that those two companies have. It's amazing that Image is able to stay
at
number
3. They've definitely done a good job getting to where they are. They've gotten to the point to where a lot of people will pick up an Image number 1.
Just because it's an Image number 1. Yeah.
And of course, Marvel's like that. DC's like that.
But
know.
Marvel and DC are like that because
for years.
But they're doing it. It's not out of necessity. They'll launch a new Batman number one, so. Because hey, fuck it, it's a Batman number one. We know we're going to sell a million copies of it.
Okay. Where, you know? Where an Image number one Image triples in price within 2 days.
Because they're limited runs, they don't do second printings, and even if they do, they're so, very limited second printings. And the books are actually meaningful. You know, big deal, I got a Superman number one. There's going to be another one next year. Yeah. Big deal, you know? But yeah. There's only one Wicked and Divine number one.
Yeah,
there's only one Chew number one.
There's only one Wayward number one.
There's only one Walking Dead number one. Exactly. Exactly. They're never going to relaunch Wayward. So it's just not going to happen. But Wayward is still an incredible book. And I put it better than any team book I'm reading over at DC, at least. And Marvel, the Avengers books are awesome, but you can't read an Avengers book without reading 5 years worth of Avengers
books. When I buy an Image book, I really get the feeling that this was wrote for trade. It seems like their market is to sell trades.
I think that's the overall comic book writer, though, nowadays.
No, right. Well, okay, but Image, they've really adopted that strategy.
Yeah, right.
Is we want to get you hooked on the story, you know,
yeah.
Whether it be a month, you know, and I think that's why they limit their stuff, their issues so much. They're like, okay, we're going to make this more collectible, but really we're going to get you hooked in reading the story.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just going to reward you for taking the risk.
Exactly. But I think Image also is winning the trade battle. If you look at the sales charts, even if you take out Walking Dead, their sales charts for the indie books are always, for the Image books, are always higher for the trades anyway, than Marvel and DC. And I'm not sure if that's more of a comment to the comic book buyer or a comment to how good Image is.
In business in general, you know, new companies upset. Yeah, older established companies.
Yeah,
because they're more flexible, more maneuverable.
They take risks. They're able to take risks. Yes,
and they have less to lose, so they can take bigger gambles.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're more
like Marvel killed Spider-Man. He was never dead.
Yeah,
he was still hanging out in every damn book.
Marvel kills Wolverine.
Yeah, they have four Wolverine books.
Yeah,
instead of just three. Yeah, so they never really go away.
But, so they're just more adaptable. Yes. And I think Image was quicker to adjust to that and realize that trades are where they're going.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, that's why you'll see an Image trade come out the week after the monthly comes out.
Because they're ready for it. They strike while the iron's hot. Yeah.
You know, which pros and cons, it makes Image back issues, unless it's a big book. Now,
yeah, a little tougher to get rid of.
Right. From a retail point of view. But with that in mind, you know, they keep the trades in stock. You know, it's like we can always provide that for our customers.
Well, and on the flip side of that coin, though, Image understands that retailers aren't buying as many single issues of Image books than they are
Image trade.
Than they are Marvel and DC books. They know if a big Batman event's coming out, they're going to buy a ton of Batman stuff. There could be a big Walking Dead event. You're like, I may buy four or five more, but it's not going to be 100 more. You know what I mean? Like, when All Out War was going on with Walking Dead, it wasn't selling anymore. Was it selling more single issues?
But not considered really only selling because more issues monthly because they put out twice as many issues.
Yeah, but when there's a Spider-Man event, they sell a bunch more. If there's a Marvel and a DC Universe wide event, of course they're going to sell more of their single issues because people are going to buy the tie-ins and stuff. Image isn't allowed to do that. You know, just because of the very nature of their business plan.
They don't have a huge established universe anymore.
It's not a universe, yeah,
I
exactly.
I mean, they have actually some crossovers,
but it's
but they've been real slim.
They had a Chew Revival crossover.
You won't find a Invincible Artifacts, in Walking Dead.
Artifacts is pretty much a crossover, right?
Artifacts is Matt Cal, though.
But it's still distributed by Image.
Yeah,
right?
it's a Mad Cow imprint distributed by Image.
Yeah.
Like
Top
they
cow,
have like
Mad
a shuttle
cow.
Line.
Top
shuttle line.
Yeah, Shadowline.
Shadowline puts
line.
Out a lot of Image books. But yeah. I don't think Shadowline is...
Shadowline is Image.
Yeah, it's an imprint.
It's an imprint, yeah.
Well, that's the way...
Like Vertigo, it's Vertigo in DC,
the way
Icon
Image operates, they own... The owners all have their own imprint.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
So
it was like it's like what it so like, what Dark Horse did back in the 90s
yes.
with the Legendary imprint.
Yes.
But the only thing that's remained from Legendary is Hellboy, and Hellboy is just now, you know, Dark Horse.
Yeah, and it should be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how it was. So Shadowline, I believe, is Kirkman's imprint.
I think so.
And then Top Cow, isn't that McFarlane's
no,
imprint?
No, Top Cow is Silvestri's.
Oh, that's okay. Right, Silvestri, yes. That's
and what's
right.
McFarlane's imprint?
I don't know.
I don't know if he has an imprint.
I'm not sure if he has his own specific
if it's
imprint.
Anything, it'd probably be like McFarlane Productions or something like that.
Yeah.
Because he's such an egomaniac.
And he gets a lot of toy money still, too, man.
Asylum. That's it.
Is it? Yeah, that might... That
Art
sounds,
Asylum.
That sounds right. Yeah.
But the only thing you see it on is the toys now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Spawn even
yeah.
still running.
So that
yeah,
was saying,
Spawn
so,
250 is like a big deal. It's supposed to be
yeah.
coming out next week, next month.
One of the characters apparently is coming back.
Yeah.
Most of this Spawn...
Savage Dragon the same way. Savage Dragon's big, too.
Yeah. Savage Dragon is what... coming up on like being the
highest numbered book currently being published.
Published well no, creator published book. It's getting up there with Cerberus.
Cerberus
okay. went with 300 issues.
Okay.
And Savage Dragon is getting up there and
yeah. I still think Savage Dragon is the highest numbered book that's currently being
yeah.
published by any publisher. Main big publisher.
Yeah.
As far as a monthly book. As far
well,
as a monthly
I mean,
book.
Yeah, you know, that's
I know.
As far as Marvel and DC,
it's
you
very
know,
arbitrary.
The way they change their numbers and everything around, it
like Fantastic Four would be up to like 700 if
yeah.
they never relaunched it.
Thor is like over 700.
Detective Comics,
Spider-Man
action.
Is over. Spider-Man is
Detective
like
Detective actually, I think had
would be like in the
yeah,
740s right now.
Yeah,
if you count the Superior Spider-Man.
If yeah, but they renumber and retitle.
Yeah,
so.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iron Man would be in the 200 or 300s at least.
Of course, you know, and Action Comics would be.
Sevens and
yeah,
eights, Detective,
yeah,
same way.
All that. So, I mean, really.
Let's talk movie trailers. You want to change subject? Nobody wants to change the subject?
What movie trailer do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about this. Have you seen any cool movie trailers lately? The Mad Max one? Is.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude,
I mean,
looks,
I saw that,
it looks
but
awesome.
I mean, it's like a continuation. It's like,
It looks pretty
it's
to
one
watch.
Of those things
I'm looking forward
that,
to Into the Woods.
What?
Into the Woods?
I know what you're talking about.
It's Hugh trailer. Jackman or whatever as
it's,
got, it's, not, it's, oh, it's Johnny Depp as
Johnny
the wolf.
Depp is the wolf.
That's right. I'm thinking of the Pan thing where Johnny Depp plays the pirate.
There's been a full-on trailer for the next movie in the Divergent series.
Oh, yes.
Insurgent.
Yes.
Insurgent.
Insurgent. Yes. I'm not a fan of those. Not really a fan of those.
Yeah, well, I saw Divergent.
Yeah, you said it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right. I
read the book.
Yeah.
First book was.
Has anyone seen the trailer for the dude who plays Thor? Isn't it? It was like Hackers or something. It's called Black Hat, I think.
I hadn't even heard of this.
It looks pretty good. It's rated R, which is weird. You know, a lot of movies don't get R ratings anymore because no one goes and sees R rated movies. But this looked like one of those like thriller sort of action movies with an R rating. So I'm stoked.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Oh,
what's his name? Not Sherman Helmsley.
That's Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. Not
moving on.
Moving on up. Wheezy. I'm just here to crack David up. That's the only reason I'm here. But yeah, man. What other movie trailers? Nothing else, really.
Mad Max and the Insurgent.
Yeah, okay. Mad Max might have been if I hadn't, you know.
Yeah.
Heard people be talking about this crap for 20 years now.
Yeah.
It might be exciting.
It looks awesome, though.
It does look
good. It looks freaking neat,
man. It looks pretty
at this,
good. Yeah.
At this point, it's Chinese democracy of
yeah,
the
true.
Movie world.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
I could get two shits about Mad Max nowadays.
Does anybody go to the movies on Christmas? Anybody do that?
I won't.
Have you ever done that?
I have.
I've never done that, but it's like a thing. It's a lot of families, like, it's their tradition to...
Me,
to go to the movies on Christmas
Day. Went on Christmas to go watch Grumpy Old Men.
That's weird.
I don't go to the theaters on like the holiday like that, or yeah. I don't go to the Black Friday sales, or even the Thanksgiving things, because you know
you feel remorse for the worker.
I feel bad for the person that has to come in that day.
That's good. That's
so I try not honorable. To do that.
Very honorable. No, you it know, is. I'm serious.
I mean, yes and no. I understand that position. I always volunteered to work. I'm not fond of family gatherings. I'd rather let somebody else that is.
Awesome.
And B, they usually pay double and triple at a lot of places.
And if you're like a server, you're almost guaranteed to walk over the bank because everyone's going to have that feeling. I feel bad for you. Here's an extra 15. Here's an extra 25.
He's right.
Oh, yeah. No. Mother's Day, man. Oh, when I served on Mother's Day, oh, jeez. That was like hitting the lottery.
Yeah. But movies...
you only needed three tables on that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Last time I was a server at a full-service restaurant on Mother's Day, the boss man had said something offensive.
Yeah.
And pissed off the day staff.
Yeah.
So they walked out. And it was me and the assistant manager and the boss. I was the only server.
I bet you banked.
Like 30-odd tables.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I made more that day than I did like the whole next month. 2 months.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was insane.
I read some news about movies. AMC Theaters is talking about a monthly movie pass. $35?
That's actually a really good deal.
Movie a day. $35 for a movie a day.
And that's something realistically, they should be doing more
even
stuff
if you
like
don't
that.
Go see a
they
movie
should.
A day, that'll pay itself.
I think it was 35 regular theater screen, 45 IMAX screen.
Where is there an AMC around here?
I'm not sure. I think it's not Opry Mills.
No, Opry Mills is Regal.
Franklin, maybe.
It
might be that far away.
Is that the 100 Oaks?
Perhaps. That might be an AMC,
Thoroughbred?
Is it Thoroughbred at 100?
I think Thoroughbred's the one at 100 Oaks.
I would honestly be happy if they would do more stuff, like just show more classic movies.
Yeah.
And honestly, just if they worked out something with the AMC, and you could go see, imagine how many people would go pay to see The Walking Dead come. Yeah, if it'd be streamed on theaters.
I saw a commercial on the CW this morning. They are showing Walking Dead. It's been syndicated. Yeah,
really.
The CW is showing Walking Dead. I couldn't believe it.
Wow,
but like in the summertime, right? July. Let's say there's a movie every week in July. That's 4 weeks. Let's just say four people in my family. That's a lot of movie tickets.
That thing will pay for itself.
That thing would pay for itself. You know, I could just buy two of the passes, have me and my son go, and then my wife and my son could go, my other son. You know what I mean? We could split it up that way. There's definitely a lot of ways to make that, you know, financially better for everyone.
Do that. Do this. All right, I need one.
And then just let them in through the door.
No. Now you get one, and then you go. Then they're like three people back in line.
I think technology has overdone the hiding people in your trunk to go see a drive-in.
I'm not saying that.
Well, it's close enough. It's about the same thing.
The drive-in up in Franklin. It's just,
they still have a drive-in?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
They got one out in Eagleville, too.
What's a drive-in?
The drive-in in Franklin.
What's
a
drive-in?
It's like just per car.
I'm too young to know what a drive-in is.
Two movies for like...
And they're current movies.
Yeah.
Like...
And then they do classics.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday night, you can go... It's like one carload pays, what, $15? Mm. You go... You're not supposed to bring outside food.
Yeah, right.
You're not supposed to bring outside food.
You're not supposed to bring outside food into the regular movie theater either, but I do that.
But we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that. It's a silent rule.
It's a two. It's anywhere between two and four movies. You're generally the early two will be two older movies. Like you might get to see Ghostbusters and Gremlins.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd watch those.
And then
I'm gonna watch Gremlins.
Then you turn around and watch the current Hobbit movie and
what else is out?
Well, the
Mockingjay.
Mockingjay.
Or whatever. Fire. Well, Mockingjay.
It is Mockingjay.
Yeah.
You'd see... If you get there early enough, you can watch Ghostbusters and Gremlins, directly followed by
It was like a 10-minute break between each movie. So if somebody didn't want to stay to watch one,
I don't like
to
drive in. I don't like being outside. Being in my car watching a movie is too close to being
outside.
That's
why I have a truck and I just back up.
You're outside.
I sit in the back of my truck.
Outside in the humid 90-degree nights, Tennessee nights. No. It's not worth it to me. I'd rather spend the extra money sitting in the air conditioning. That's why movie theaters became popular, guys, because of air conditioning.
Yeah.
Thing is, movie theaters are always too cold. I would not mind getting like one of those lawn chairs that folds into three.
Yeah. That's what I do
the back of my truck. Have a six pack.
A six pack, bring a keg. Charge $6 a beer.
No, just do a six pack. That way, if you're there for the two movies, you drink the six pack for the first movie, and you have the second movie to sober up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never a fan of the drive-in, but I do bring a jacket with me whenever I go to the movie theater.
Because he wants to feel that outdoor feeling.
No, even if it's 100 degrees outside, they've got it 0 degrees in the theater, you know? What else is new? What else is going on?
Well, you know, that edited version of the Walking Dead on the CW, now originally it's supposed to, they're saying here, according to the CW, it's going to be TV-14, which is technically what AMC launched it at.
Yes.
Although now the latest season's considered TV mature.
It should be.
I mean, it definitely will boost DVD sales. This will be a big hit for AMC. A lot of people.
You mean the syndication? Syndication.
Yeah. A lot of people out there don't have cable. Or, you know, I mean, there are people out there that don't bootleg and don't have cable.
Who are just out of it and don't know.
And, well.
Out of the loop. They are. There are people out there who have no idea.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call them out there out of the loop, but.
Yeah, my dad had no idea what The Walking Dead was.
Oh, well, my dad knows what The Walking Dead is.
No, my dad had no idea.
He doesn't want to pay for cable. He gets over-the-air broadcasts, watches free stuff on Hulu.
He can do it. He can watch CW now.
He's got plenty. There's plenty of television out there that you don't have to pay for.
You can't get The Walking Dead on Hulu, can you?
No. That's what I say. He's never seen
Netflix,
The Walking Dead.
The season after.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of options out there for people who are totally legit. There's plenty of free video out there.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
so.
Speaking of not free video, Pirate Bay got shut down last week. That's big news.
And picked up by ISO Hunt.
Yeah, picked up right away.
Because Pirate Bay has distributed all their had a packet of, here's all our link
here's
database.
All our stuff.
Here's everything you need to replicate us. Here you go. That's not good for their competition, but they weren't really making that much money.
No, they were making enough money to keep everything running. Going and get paid.
Bad revenue. It's the yearly Wikipedia donate.
It is the yearly Wikipedia donate.
Time.
Yeah. I have never donated to Wikipedia, and I really, really should.
I use it
more than probably any other website.
Wikipedia. Saving college students from the library for...
Not even that. I mean, just for... We use it just today to figure out if Jonathan Frakes really was the... We used it this morning.
We settled that.
And it's for that stuff.
The director of Star Trek First Contact.
First Contact.
He was.
He didn't believe me.
I didn't think he was.
Because
he was like, I want Jonathan Frakes to direct the third Star Trek movie. Yeah. I'm like,
well,
no,
there's rumors or something. Like, didn't he mention something about that?
What happened was Robert Orci, who was J.J. Abrams' executive producer on all kinds of things, TV shows, movies, all kinds of things.
Is out.
He was the guy who was going to be in Star Trek 3. We're not sure why. The rumors are he had problems with the script, which involved a lot of time travel. Or he liked
Again?
The script that involved a lot of time travel, and they threw that script out.
Again?
Either way, yeah, right? Robert Orci is out. So there was a big thing. Oh, who are we going to get? Who are we going to get? And the thing was, let's get Jonathan Frakes to do it. And they said, we want Riker. Well, no, was that the hashtag Riker?
I don't know what the hashtag was.
It was something like that. We want Riker, or Riker, or something like that, or whatever.
Jonathan Frakes is campaigning to be the director.
So then Jonathan Frakes got wind of it, and he said, yeah, that'd be cool. I'll direct that. So he got behind it. So that's what's happening with that right now. I would love for Jonathan Frakes, number one on number three.
He burned me on Insurrection. No.
My problem with Star Trek, especially Abrams stuff, is it's not Star Trek.
It's not Star Trek. It's not true.
And
Trek.
Jonathan Frakes would make it like Star Trek again. No matter how the writing was, he would find heart in it.
Right, it's hard to blame all of a movie on a director.
Oh no, I totally agree with you. Yes,
that does. Now it's one thing if it's like if you're going to blame Kevin Smith, a Kevin Smith movie that he wrote and directed
and starred in and produced and produced.
Right.
Yeah,
Jersey Girl. Jersey Girl.
I didn't mind Jersey Girl.
Which I actually liked Jersey Girl.
I didn't mind it either. Yeah. I thought it was fun.
Jersey Girl was one of the worst. What people call the worst one, but it was not terrible.
It wasn't bad. Well, here's the thing: it was a totally different movie than all this other stuff.
Exactly. So
people were making fart jokes.
Yeah,
people were expecting it to be a Jersey trilogy movie type deal, but
it wasn't part of the skew. Universe.
Right. They were expecting the Skewniverse, but they didn't get that.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I enjoy it. I like it.
They got
it.
George Carlin being the lovable grandpa that he is on, like, the time that kid show with, like, the
train. The Thomas
the
Tank
conductor,
engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the conductor. Yeah. Why do you look at me? Because I have kids, and I probably watch that?
I figured you would be able to tell me and say the name of it, at least.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
It's not Thomas. It's like...
It is. It's Thomas the
it's
Tank
not
Engine.
Thomas. He's not... He's not the conductor. It's a live-action show. Thomas.
Oh, it's not.
He was the conductor, and then like Ringo Starr became the conductor.
Oh yeah. What show was that?
I thought you would have been able.
It
to
was pick Thomas.
No, he wasn't. No, and he's not even the conductor on Thomas the Tank Engine. He's like the voiceover guy, the announcer.
No, they actually had. They had openings where he was.
But this is different.
Happy Time Station or something
yes,
like that.
It was like something like
it
that.
It was a live-action show where like. George Carlin was a miniature conductor that had like would appear.
Yeah,
even, like,
I do remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I know exactly the show you're talking about.
I remember that.
Ringo Starr took over for it.
Yes. Yeah, no. Let's see. Mr. Conductor's Thomas Tales.
No, that wasn't it.
Well,
that's different.
He played Mr. Conductor in that one. Thomas and Friends.
It maybe was a Thomas thing. I don't know.
Shining Time Station.
That's it. Shining Time Station. Yes.
That's it.
What a cool show that was, man. Yeah.
And which is, I mean, it's the
it's sort of based
the
on the
Thomas the Train
universe.
Yeah.
How weird is that to say there's a Thomas the Tank Engine universe?
And George Carlin was part of it.
Yeah.
And he was... he wasn't George Carlin.
Yeah, he did not.
He did not do the.
He's like, I'm going to die soon. I need to make up for all this shit.
Oh yeah, that is.
I need society to love me for something besides hating on politics and God.
Yeah,
that's why I love him.
That's why I love him too. But society hates him for the same thing.
Oh, society!
Damn you,
there's
society!
There's a lot of things wrong with society. Yeah. But George Carlin isn't one.
No,
Jane saw the Bob Strike Back. One of my favorite things that George
Carlin. Oh, yeah, that's what I said.
You're doing it all wrong!
You gotta go by the book!
The rule!
The rule!
You're doing it all wrong!
I don't know, him playing a cardinal.
A cardinal Glick.
Oh, and Dogma.
Cardinal
Glick, dude.
Whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Glick.
Yeah.
I have him on IMDb.
Chris Rock. And then, yeah, I was like, I'm sit by the one who said, who as I am. Nobody. Except the hand of God in person.
He's the kind of a-hole that would bless his clubs.
Yep.
Speaking of Smith movies, isn't that one movie supposed to be out on DVD soon? The
Tusk.
It should be out on DVD soon. It didn't do that well in theaters. It did better than
walrus.
He thought it would do in theaters.
But I am the Eggman, not my choice.
Yeah, but relatively, it didn't do as well
it
as
wasn't
other movies.
That good of a movie.
I want to see it though. I still want to see it.
It was a really weird movie.
Yeah, that's why I want to see it.
So if you're a fan of weird movies, watch it.
Yeah,
definitely.
I am a fan of weird movies.
If you're a hardcore Kevin Smith fan, watch it.
That goes without saying.
Honestly.
I want Clerks 3, damn it. That's what I want.
I would probably buy it on DVD because I have all the other Kevin Smith movies.
I doubt it will be 2015 because I've heard he wants to do Krampus first.
I'm just not a big fan.
Have you heard about like Johnny Depp's daughter and Kevin Smith's daughter being like
hosers?
Yeah.
Hosers,
you know,
what is that called?
Yoga hosers.
Yeah, yoga hosers. And that's out. That's supposed to be like there's... footage of that
out. Yeah, I've seen footage of it.
Yeah.
And well, because Johnny Depp is reprising his role, and he is so bad in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
In Tusk, he's
horrible. In Tusk, he's bad. Johnny Depp is in Tusk?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. See, I didn't realize that.
Doing the worst French accent you've ever heard.
Oh, my goodness.
Guy LaPointe.
Yeah.
Guy LaPointe.
Now, is Tusk part of the Spider-Verse?
Tusk part of the...
I'm looking...
I mean, technically, it's part of the Viscoverse, but it's not based in Jersey.
I don't want the guys having a visit from Creepy Tusk Guy, you know, when they're... Yeah.
Jane Silent Bob end up it puts the lotion on its skin.
Oh no!
The Jane Silent Bob have been to Canada.
Yeah,
this is the Canada-based trilogy.
Degrassi. Yes, the Degrassi. Yeah.
Second film's Yoga Hosers.
Yeah, this is
and then
part
Moose
of the,
Jaws.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's starting a Canadian trilogy.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, this is but
no, I'd rather see.
Because, yeah, three, it all
man.
Sets
That's what
up
I want.
There.
I want the guys running the shop themselves. That's what I want.
All right,
so.
Final thoughts.
Happy holidays to everybody. We do have another podcast before this one, but it's going to be during the busiest time of the whole, you know, Christmas holiday. So everybody, that I got the coolest stuff for Christmas. My wife bought me three of the coolest Star Trek books. One of them is the Ships of the Line, which is just the calendar pictures for the past 5 years in a book. The other two are amazing. A Stellar Cartography Handbook that has a bunch of maps of the Star Trek universe. And a history book called Starfleet, The First 150 Years. That's my final thought. I got the coolest wife ever, the amazing one. Until you get married, Larry, that is. Then you'll have the most amazing wife,
and they'll
right?
both be named.
And that's weird, isn't it?
There are no such things as coincidences.
What's up? You got a final thought?
Kind of bummed. Found out that my work schedule is going to be changing. Mm-hmm. I won't probably be able to do the Geeks of the Square Table podcast after the beginning of the year.
Oh man, we'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out. We might
start a new cast or continue this one and add one.
Yeah, maybe the Geeks Off Color cast.
Yeah, we'll figure something out where we critique everything that was said on the Geeks of the Square Table and correct everything that was said.
Ha! I'm PewDiePie. Yeah. Cotton bra.
But yeah, that.
How come your little pony sounds like Mr. Hanky?
It does.
PewDiePie.
It's the time of year for Mr. Hanky.
PewDiePie is not a pony. PewDiePie is a guy in Canada that plays video games and does commentary on YouTube. He's like a big YouTube.
Well, he
star.
Sounds like the Christmas poop.
But he was on South Park.
Yeah, he sounds like the Christmas poop.
That was a. He was on South Park.
Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poop. South Park, yes.
Yeah. No, PewDiePie was on South Park. The most recent episode of South Park, PewDiePie was on it.
Mm.
Yeah. That it was where they were poking. They were like poking fun at Bill Cosby, and they brought like a hologram of Kurt Cobain to sing Christmas songs.
That's awesome.
Other than that, Merry Christmas, you freaking animals.
Keep the change,
you filthy animals.
Bab.
All right. First off, I finally got to play Diablo 3.
Oh, nice. How did that go? You took time off of WoW to play a different game that
you
takes all your
time.
You
probably wasn't able to take time off of WoW. You couldn't get any time on it.
Oh, WoW's been being hit by DDoS attacks.
Yes, I've heard of that. I heard that.
Blizzard Squad strikes again!
Yep. Every time Blizzard puts out something new, they hit with the DDoS. Which... They should figure.
It's just like all those studios trying to take down Google. It's all the other MMO makers.
Oh yeah. Anyways, I finally got to play Diablo.
We
3.
Can take them down
alone. We are powerless. Together, we can win.
Yes. And my axe.
And one of my favorite things to do this time of year is torture my coworkers because I'm management. I get to make them listen to Christmas music, and they can't do jack about it.
You're one of the few who likes Christmas music. I like Christmas music, like from this point on to the end of Christmas.
He's only had to deal with it for like 2 hours because I turned it on about 2:30, 3 o'clock. First off, I was like, "You're not even on the clock yet. Why are you changing the station?" I was like, "Cause I'm management."
Christmas is the time of year.
But yes, I love torturing my coworkers, making them listen to Christmas music.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
if a Christmas song isn't good enough for me to hear it in July and think it's a good song, it's not worth me listening to it in December.
No, there's a dip. You can get in the season, you know.
Anyways,
right, Christmas songs that come out nowadays just don't have the sense.
If it's not a good song, like I can hear you know,
Trans Siberian Orchestra.
Right.
I can listen to that all
whenever,
yeah,
and that
yeah.
is a good song.
Yeah.
I can hear the original classic Walking in a Winter Wonderland, yeah. and yeah. that's a good song. you know.
Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, all year for that one.
Well, anyways. I'm enjoying torture with my coworkers.
So who's older? You or your kids?
Yeah, right.
He's the master.
I am the master.
Anyway, Merry Christmas, y'all.
Padawans.
Don't eat too many fruitcake.
Today's actually the first day of Hanukkah, so happy
yeah.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Officially started last
yesterday,
night.
Yesterday, yeah.
Today's the first full day.
I made it out of clay.
Which, yeah, special happy Hanukkah to the 23rd out there.
To the 23rd, Mr. True.
You know, I told him last night on Facebook, because I figured, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't check Facebook anymore.
Right.
Wait a second.
He pokes me on Facebook.
Weird, I know, right?
Oh.
He's like a Hispanic American, Panam. I don't know where
he's like
from.
A Cuban Jew.
He's a Cuban Jew.
He calls himself a Juban.
Juban.
That is his word, America.
Send
I'm
your
not
letters to,
yeah, send your letters to Jules True. Yeah. that is
I,
not
I,
my
I
creation.
I did not know that. I learned that last
I, when
year.
When you just
time.
Said I was like...
You know Jules, so it makes sense.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, so.
It makes sense.
All I did not know that about him, but that does make sense.
Larry, you got a final thought?
You know, if you're finding yourself broke out there for Christmas...
You're doing it wrong.
Dodge a few relatives. Buy them something after Christmas. You'll save a fortune.
Yeah, save a fortune.
yeah.
It's not wrong to give a hug and a handwritten card for Christmas.
Remember,
it's not.
It's all about family, not about gifts.
Some of the best gifts I've gotten were a hug and a whisper in the ear of a heartfelt excuse why they didn't
get it. You know, I don't
want
to...
It really is. I love that stuff. I love that stuff. You know, a hug and a heartfelt excuse.
But I haven't given you your gift yet.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
But
you didn't
just
have to
remember,
get me.
Larry's
it is about family
yeah.
gathering. It is about being with you know those special people in your life, and also we have a lovely, lovely Christmas party here every year.
Yes,
for Christmas on Christmas Eve,
bunch of games,
and I run
fun.
Dirty Santa.
So,
bunch of games, bunch of fun,
and
so we'll see you next time.
You're about to get the best gift of all, Larry. After next week, we won't talk about Cora.
Yeah, Cora's done.
This week is the final episode.
It's not like I dislike the show.
it's like
it's
every
just,
time!
No, I mean, it's just boring radio to listen to somebody talk about it for 30 minutes.
I think so, too. Of course, fun, but yeah.
And then if y'all bring it up every time and y'all were to talk 5 minutes about it, it'd be fine.
Oh...